are listening to a One Pint Stand, a Minnesota craft beer podcast that tells the stories of craft beer in Minnesota and beyond. So kick back, relax, and grab a cold one. The show starts now. Okay, this is the non-Patreon long open. Hello, my name is Dan Bobian, and I write, produce, and host a One Pint Stand. I'm ecstatic that you're listening. This episode of a One Pint Stand is proudly sponsored by the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild. Their mission is simple: to promote, protect, and grow a robust Minnesota craft brewing industry by building a healthy beer culture and community that allows for independent brewers, industry stakeholders, and craft beer fans to thrive. Over the years, they have done so much for the Minnesota craft beer industry. Check them out on social media or go to their website, mncraftbrew.org, to check out their many festivals, beer events, and ways to become involved. On this episode, I'm joined by Lindsay Darling and Bob Galligan from the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild to preview the oldest running beer festival in Minnesota, the Autumn Brew Review. So let's head out to 56 Brewing Company for my interview with Lindsay and Bob. Cheers. Okay, welcome to another on-location episode of A One Pint Stand. I'm your host, Dan Bobian. Today I'm at 56 Brewing Company in Northeast Minneapolis, and I'm being joined by Bob and Lindsay from the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild. And we're here to talk about the upcoming Autumn Brew Review.
Yay!
Yo.
Thank you so much for taking time to join me today. It's a nice rainy day in Minnesota where the traffic sucks and people are driving like Nimrods.
Yep.
So what better way to take the edge off than a little beer conversation about one of my, it was my first beer festival, the Autumn Brew Review back in 2010. Mm-hmm. I was very much a local craft beer novice. And one of my friends had an extra VIP ticket.
Okay.
And they're like, do you want to go to this beer festival? I'm like, what's a beer festival? I mean, first of all, yes, but I just need some more.
Yeah.
Fill me in and then let me. And it was awesome. It was a perfect day. It was one of those, it was the first weekend, first Saturday in October. And it was one of those October days that was crisp. It's probably like 65 degrees and the sun was shining. There was a slight breeze. Cool enough to wear jeans, but not too hot where you know, and I'd never been to a beer festival before.
Right.
And back then in 2010, you know, it was pre-taproom bill. So if you wanted craft beer, you probably were going to a craft beer bar, like the Muddy Pig or the Happy Gnome, RIP, both those places. And it was a lot of regional brands, Rogue, Odell, Bell's, and all those things. And going to this beer festival, and there were Minnesota breweries there, and I'd never had anything. I'd had a couple things from Surly in cans, but they had a line like crazy. I'm like, what's the line for? And they're like, oh, they got these special releases. One of them was called Jesus Juice, and it was like a dark stout with, it must have been like, it had like cherry or something in it. And I remember being in, even in the VIP line, there was a line. So I'm like, okay, I better get it now. Yeah, my friend was like, get it now because it won't be there
we'll be tapped general admission.
And it was just such a fun way to try a bunch of different beers. And it was, and then once all the people came in, I was like, this is the best. What are there more beer festivals like this? And that's kind of got me into beer festivals. And I, you know, here we are, how many years later? 14 years later. I'm not a math
teacher, give or take.
And we're getting ready to do it 2025. So this would be the 24th
year. 24th year, right? Yeah.
So before we start our conversation, if each of you could introduce yourselves, say your role with the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild, and then give me a favorite Autumn Brew Review memory.
Oh, geez. Okay. So I'm Lindsay Darling. I'm the events manager for the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild. This will be my fourth time planning the festival. And I'm really excited. I went to this festival before I worked here and in the industry, and I loved it. And I can't believe that I'm now part of the team that plans it. My favorite memory, I'm I'm going to go with last year in the introduction of the llamas.
Oh, my God.
I really like the llamas, and I've become friendly with the owner of Happy Jolly Llamas, Hannah. So that's a nice thing that started off as just kind of working together, and now we, you know, talk to each other instead of hang out. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of the llamas, for sure. That's why we're bringing them back.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I am Bob Galligan. I am the Director of Government and Industry Relations for the Craft Brewers Guild. It's funny because I lived in Texas for a good while. I moved back in 2017. But, you know, so my first autumn brewery view would have been 2019.
Okay.
Which is weird.
The only one I've never, well, since I started going, the only one I've had to miss.
Right, right. So it's, Autumn Brewery Review was kind of new to me. I had already been to, you know, a bunch of beer festivals. I worked beer festivals. I had helped throw beer festivals. So it was cool to come back home and actually experience the very first one. I would say probably my favorite memory when I was on the board of the guild and did not work at the guild at that time. I run the political action committee, and we decided to actually do a booth at Autumn Brewery Review. And I think Autumn Brewery Review was actually the first festival that we had a booth. But that was the beer festival I spent in like a sport coat and tie, but lederhosen, which was a unique look that I was given a go, and I haven't brought it back quite since.
Maybe this year.
I still got the lederhosen. But that was also one of those Autumn Brewery Reviews that is like. Picture perfect, like, you know, just the gentle breeze, you know, sun warm enough where like you're wearing a sweater and then you're not, and then you're wearing a sweater and then you're not. Yeah. So, you know, it was, there's something special, I think, to Autumn Brewery Review that I have not experienced at other beer festivals.
Yeah. I'm really happy that the llamas are coming back because
just for you, Dan.
It's kind of funny. Last weekend, my family surprised me with a special, like surprise family fun day. And we went out to the llama farm because I was so taken with the llamas at ABR. I don't know. Now, sometimes maybe they train these llamas to be like, okay, now if somebody comes over, you know, they walk away, follow them to make that this one loves me, that right. I'm special. And that happened last year. I was petting this llama and I was like, you are so peaceful and gentle. And
their names
nice.
Are Dill and Pickle.
Yeah. And then I think it was Pickle that started following me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, huh, what if we just ran away together?
Right.
So, you know, I'm Colombian. So we should just go back to the Andes Mountains. It's kind of shitty here now. Like, we could just have a whole new life together. And oh, my God, the thought crossed my mind. So fast forward to last weekend, we go to this llama farm and it was so fun. And my niece and nephew had a great time. They'd been there before, but we walked them around. Now, here's a fun fact.
Okay.
You know, I'm a teacher by trade, so educating people about random stuff is kind of in my wheelhouse. Did you know that when a llama takes a whiz, it can go up to 5 minutes?
Oh.
I did not know that.
No, yeah. I do now.
And so that was real revolutionary to my 10-year-old nephew and 8-year-old niece. Because we're all walking a llama and one of them stops and it's like, what's happening here? I'm like, is there something wrong with the llama? I'm like, I don't know. This is a question to ask the person right. when we get back, to the barn or wherever, the paddock where they keep them. And llamas are very peaceful.
Okay.
And I'm very excited that they're going to be there. I mean, I was excited before.
Right.
Now I'm extra excited.
I love this.
So I think that's great. So the llamas at ABR, definitely a win. So before we get into like ABR history and what the festival is going to be, let's tell people how they can get tickets. Where is it going to be? Mm-hmm. When's it going to be? Mm-hmm. And what are the different options for people buying tickets?
Sure. The tickets you can always buy on our website, and we do suggest buying them directly through us. Secondhand tickets can get fake and all this bad stuff. But you can get them on our website, which is www.mncraftbrew.org. And for the different types, the event itself is on Saturday, October 11th at Boom Island Park in Minneapolis. It has a beautiful view of downtown. It's on the Mississippi River. You really can't ask for more in terms of setting. And the different tickets we offer, we have a VIP ticket. gets you an early special commemorative glass, and you get first dibs at the collabs, which we can talk about in a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in addition to that, we have our general admission. There's a non-alcoholic, non-altering ticket you can get.
Okay.
So there's lots of options for you, whatever kind of thing you want to get down and get into at the festival.
Yeah, I recommend getting the VIP one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That extra time. Mm-hmm. It's a more relaxed, I think,
for
you know,
sure.
When you go to a beer festival, more relaxed kind of a thing. You can just kind of have a more leisurely pace.
And you can talk with the brewers. I think something that sets our festivals a little bit apart is a lot of times you're going to have your brewers, your owners, at the festival, and they love coming to this one because it's, for a lot of them or that are in the metro, it's close by, but they like to debut new beers when they come, and they want to talk about it. So it's a nice time as a VIP to get that kind of one-on-one chat with the different people that are involved in making the beer.
I think that's really important. I mean, it seems like over the years, there's almost a sense of beer festival fatigue. There's so many different beer festivals. And what I tell people, I said, you know, be a little bit more selective, just like you are about what you're drinking and what you're eating, you know. Prioritize the guild events because you will get FaceTime with the brewers and the owners and the people listening to this podcast. I mean, this is not they're not the Applebee's and Walmart crowd. They're connoisseurs, you know, so they love being able to talk shop and really nerd out. I mean, that's the perfect place to do it. So get that VIP ticket and really immerse yourselves in the ABR experience.
Yeah. And I think it's, even from a brewer's standpoint, you know, like All Pints North is great. It's a little kind of escape for a lot of the brewers to kind of get away from the mess. But Autumn Brewery View is a nice check-in, I think, which is why I think a lot of even owners and brewers do like to attend. It's just kind of like they get to talk amongst themselves and kind of, you know, it's one of those times where everyone is in the exact same area, so that they will walk around and kind of check in on their friends and, you know, how are things going with you and whatnot. So, you know, I think just in general, our beer festivals are more brewer focused. Like the public is more than welcome to come and celebrate with us, but we're you know, definitely pushing and making sure to support the brewers and giving them space as well as the public.
Yeah, it's you definitely can witness firsthand the special camaraderie of people in the industry talking shop. And I have to imagine, I know, you know, Lindsay, you mentioned there's going to be collabs at the festival. I'm sure I'd be curious to know how many collabs come out of those conversations of like, oh, you know, you pair up two breweries next to each other and, you know, you spend 4 hours next to each other, you know, you're trying different stuff and talking shop. And I think that's a really fun thing. I love to nerd out about that stuff. So, so the festival itself, this is the 24th year.
Yeah. It's,
now let's get in the history way back machine. Now, my first ABR was 2010, but when was the first year of ABR and where was it?
I know it was in 2001.
It was in 2001 and very first. So the Guild was founded in 2000. 9 months later, they started conceiving of a beer festival just as a way to celebrate. At that time, there were 7 breweries that were part of the Guild, mostly brew pubs. I mean, Great Waters, Town Hall, all the classics. And the very first Autumn Brewery Review that they decided to actually throw was in 2001 in PV Plaza, actually in Minneapolis. There were 30 breweries, which at that time was actually
that's
pretty good.
Yeah. That's
pretty good.
Yeah,
it wasn't it wasn't until 2016 that it was like mandatory that they were all members of the Guild. So I'm not exactly sure what all the breweries were, but you know, a decent sized beer festival for, you know, some of the first beer festivals in not even just the state, but the country, quite frankly, because that was super early in craft beer.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Right?
So it's been going on for, this is the 24th year.
Yeah.
The first year I went to it, it was at the old Grain Belt.
Yeah, me too.
Facility. And I don't even think you could have a brewery beer festival there now. It's that area has changed so much.
Oh, but every year they ask.
Everybody. Yeah.
Every year we get at least
you should bring it back.
I don't know why this isn't at Grain Belt anymore. And I'm like, oh, I would love it there because that's the first time I went to Autumn Brew Review. But we've grown it.
we can't
fit there and it just wouldn't work anymore.
So how many breweries are going to be at this year's
Right now we have 84.
84. That's
84.
A lot.
84. It is.
And
that's
what
good.
Is it? I think I ask this every time we chat, but mm-hmm. I forget because I'm a moron. How many total breweries are in the Guild in Minnesota?
We have just over 150 that we represent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It'll kind of fluctuate even throughout the year.
Yeah.
But yeah, right now we currently have just over 150, and there are just about 200 in the state. So
yep.
we represent just about 75-80% of the breweries.
That's pretty good. I feel
that's
like
exceptional
that's pretty
for
good
a
membership.
State guild. Yeah.
Yeah, that, state guild, yeah that
you, is. You all would know way better than I, but every... I'm assuming every state has a Brewers Guild.
Not every state.
Oh,
but yeah, some of them do not. But a majority of them will, and it really depends on the state and how active the guild is. I mean, also California has like five different guilds.
And like New York, sure. guilds
yeah.
more than
yeah. So there's like a guild just for New York City and then New York State. And so it really is state dependent. And even you know who is actually you know running the guild is state dependent. Some don't even have any staff, and it is literally just you know the board that are running it. Some of them will have staff. We are kind of like smack in the middle of staff and size.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I mean, 75. Well. Minnesota always brings it with participation.
Yeah.
We try.
And
yeah.
our election results and stuff like that. So it's nice to know that 75% roughly of all the members of all the breweries in the state are members. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good thing. And I certainly look forward to all the guild festivals. So let's talk about, you know, if somebody has never been to Autumn Brew Review, what type of things can they expect to find at the festival?
So this year, as we've spoken about, we're going to have those llamas, that's for sure. But
and they don't spit. Okay, so here's another clarification. I keep coming back to these beautiful creatures. So llamas don't spit.
Okay.
Those are the alpacas.
Those and darn only, alpacas.
And here's the other thing I learned last weekend. I'm going to turn into a llama podcast, but alpacas like to be pet on the neck. Llamas like to be pet on the back.
I can't wait for you to meet Hannah and be like, Hannah, can we just talk llama?
Yeah.
Just break it down.
Can we just break it down? Llama?
She'll recognize me. She's like, you're the man we had to pepper spray last weekend to get off the property.
Lindsay, you said he wasn't allowed back. What is he doing here?
Why is he dressed as a hay bale? I'm not gonna wear the suit coat and lederhosen. I'm gonna wear a hay bale.
Leave that to Bob.
Hey. This year though, in addition, we're gonna have Iceless Curling from Curling Connections. And I'm really excited. To feature this. She, Jill is their owner and she is a small business and she's really trying to get her name out there. She's been so wonderful to work with. So she's going to bring two rinks. From what I know, the one is an express rink. She can meet her at the festival. She can kind of dive into all the different services she offers. But, I'm excited to see people kind of go and do some curling at the festival.
Well, it's so funny. 'Cause like when you first signed up the curling folks, like I brought it up to somebody and they were like, how are they going to do curling in October? I was like, really good question. I look forward to finding out. I have no idea.
Lindsay said it was fine.
Yeah, Lindsay signed him up. I'm just going to throw some stones. So,
I mean, I trust you because you've organized the Miss Massachusetts pageant.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you say jump, I say how high. I just, you know.
Maybe we'll do the pageantry next year.
Yeah.
Llama pageantry is what I heard, folks. Get ready.
Well, don't step on the state fair's toes here.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
I don't want to get in trouble.
I don't want to get in trouble. Back to that, too. So
we'll have Curling Connections will be there, the llamas. And then I'm very excited. We're going to have Mark Joseph as a band. And Mark Joseph in the American Soul, I saw last year at the state fair. He performs, I want to say, over 20 years at the state fair. He travels all over the world. But he performed at Carib every day of the state fair. And I saw him last year and I said, this is like the vibe. I love this guy. I love his music. He's so talented. His band is so talented. So I emailed him and he'll be performing the entire fest this year. So we have music, we have llamas, we have curling, all the breweries. I mean, it's going to be a party with food trucks. Obviously we have small businesses there. We have artists and, permanent jewelry, you name it, all types of vendors. So we're excited. It's going to be a great time. I get more and more excited every day.
One of the things that I really like about beer festivals is, especially at the guild ones, you know, a run of the mill beer festival, you'll get breweries kind of bring in the standards, you know. But it's like the reason I go to a Bruce Springsteen concert, I want to hear some deep cuts. I want to hear some of the, you know, the songs off the River Tour. And I feel like at APN and ABR, people who show up are really treated to kind of like the best of the best. I do really feel that breweries put their best foot forward with their offerings. Mm-hmm. Is there, what type, in addition to like a lot of special beers, a couple of years ago you started doing collaborations.
Yep, that was
allowing
last year.
Breweries mm-hmm. to, okay, so yeah, mm-hmm. last year, yeah. How many, do you know how many breweries are going to be doing collaborations?
Right now I have about 20.
Okay.
I still need some of them to respond to my email to confirm. Oh, like every business. Yeah,
Circuit to...
Yep. I'll be hitting the phones.
Later.
I'll be hitting the phones next week. But yeah. We have at least 14 confirmed right now. Probably okay. We'll get up to 20. And what's cool about this is these collabs are getting featured one of a kind at ABR. So you won't be able to get these before. You know, some you might not be able to get after.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a ABR... showcase. And we started this because last year I was talking with Jess and Bob and I said, you know, what's so great about this community, the brewing community in Minnesota, is that they work together all the time and they produce really great products like with each other. And we should celebrate that at the festival. And so when I reached out to some of the breweries, they're like, yeah, Lindsay, I would love to do that. And so now we're going into our second year of the collaborations and I'm excited to see what, some of them, I mean, some are joining barbecue companies
right.
and some 320 Dwellers is going to be collaborating with Pine Technical and Community College. So I'm excited.
Oh, interesting. Like, so it's not necessarily brewery to brewery.
No.
Which is, in my opinion, super singular and also super rad. Just because, you know, obviously a lot of our members do collaborate together on singular beers and whatnot, but I think it is also really cool to see some of these folks actually branch out into their community or across the state or, you know, different partners that they just have beyond just the beer aspect, but more the community aspect to kind of see that celebrated, I think is super, super cool.
Who's doing the collaboration with the barbecue?
That would be Invictus.
Invictus, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay, that'll be cool.
And I want to say Farm Aid will feature... Broken Clock is working, you know, is doing a collab.
That is one of the cooler collaborations
yeah.
I have ever
oh,
seen
yeah.
I just, or that's, heard of.
The episode that just dropped was... Yep. I was over at Broken Clock talking yep. to them about that.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to be there.
I kind of do want, on the podcast, Sean, the head brewer at... Broken Clock said he would retire if he saw Willie Nelson drinking the beer. And I'm like, I kind of want that for Sean, but also I don't want Sean to retire because he's a great human and a great.
Yeah,
brewer.
I wouldn't hold out a whole lot of hope. Willie is quite old and he's stuck with the plant more than alcohol for quite some time, I think. But we'll see. Maybe he'll hold up a glass. But no, I mean, I think that collaboration is so cool on so many fronts. Like one of them is just being, you know, part of the collaborator was the Minnesota Farmers Union, which they actually, the president of the Farmers Union met Jeremy at Broken Clock while we were there for an event and stayed and had a pint and ended up signing up for Broken Clock as a member, a cooperative member
really cool.
while he was
okay.
sitting there. And so they kind of like blossomed this relationship. And so it's just so cool to see so many different angles being
yeah.
celebrated
yeah.
And so many different ingredients, you know, especially coming from a agricultural product. You know, that's the reason we are where we are in the state fair. But to just kind of see all of that come together in one glass, to me, that's the alchemy of beer. And yeah.
When are we going to see, and maybe it's happening this year, I don't have the list in front of me, but will there ever be an NA collab? I know that like at the Brewers Conference, ostracized that NA beverage mm-hmm. company. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see them, you know, maybe do a collab with ABV Tech and have like NA version. Also, the founder of Ostracized is a former student of mine.
Hey. Oh,
shout
I
out to
know
Whitney
that.
Nelson.
Hey, all right.
She's quite dynamic and awesome. So that would be cool to mm-hmm. see.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, get everybody under the tent together in that way. I was just curious if that was ever.
Well, I think you're seeing just in general. So like, you know, there are plenty of beer festivals where you can go and you can just get beer. And I think pretty much every festival across the board is realizing like, we can branch out. And the consumer nowadays wants branch
yep.
out.
Yep.
So, you know, we've always, you know, for quite some time, not always, but, you know, at least offered some kind of non-alcoholic option for, yeah. for designated drivers and for people who still wanted to come and see. But also, like, our festival was the first in the nation that I've heard of that also offered THC hemp beverage side by side. And so, you know, seeing that enter the fray has been very interesting. But I think in general, I mean, like even this year, Great American Beer Festival will have a section for craft distillers.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of us were like, well, that's the first time that's ever happened.
Nobody ever saw that video where you put a Mentos in the Diet Coke bottle, did you? Well,
it's I think it'll be really interesting to see kind of further how that plays out. And I think just kind of moving forward, I think kind of the synergy, I hate that word, you know, even like craft, you know, distillers, craft winemakers, like craft non-alcoholic makers. I mean, seeing. I think more people come together rather than kind of staying in their little sections yep. and being ostracized from yeah. the rest of the yeah. group. I think we're starting to see kind of a little more collaboration across the board on that front too, and that's kind of rolling into beer festivals. And I think Lindsay has done a really good job in leading the charge on that, because like I said, I don't know many across the nation that have kind of been able to incorporate all of that so seamlessly and yeah. welcoming.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, I love to see the different entities that team up, and I think it's just like a nice fun thing. But hey, thank you so much for listening. Hopefully you're enjoying a One Pint Stand. My aim is to help spread the word about craft beer. Enjoying craft beer is a passion of mine, and I love chatting about it with other people. A One Pint Stand has a goal of helping breweries tell their stories. I love to get out in and beyond Minnesota to visit breweries, beer bars, and meet other interesting beer people. Now, if you're also into those things, you probably want to keep tabs on the show. So go ahead and follow A One Pint Stand on Instagram, Facebook, and Blue Sky. I also started a TikTok account because I was tired of Charles calling me a boomer for not having one. I would also appreciate any and all positive reviews on Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever it is you listen to your podcasts, to help make it easier for other craft beer listeners to find us. If you want to be a supporter of the podcast with some of the extra change you find in your couch cushions, I've got a Patreon. There are 3 different monthly levels of support, and they're priced at $1, $3, or $5 a month. Now, if you pledge at the $3 or $5 monthly level, you get some cool perks. So go to patreon.com and search up A One Pint Stand to check it out. We're up to 28 supporters, and I am so excited about what that means for this show. If you like reading about craft beer, you can check out my written work on onepintstand.com. I love writing, and this is where you're going to find a lot of my content that covers both the local craft beer happenings as well as my craft beer travels. I truly appreciate you listening and taking time to enjoy our stories. Before we go back to the show, I want to talk about this episode's sponsor, the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild. Among All Pints North, Autumn Brew Review, and the Brewed in Minnesota State Fair experience, the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild does a ton to promote the local Minnesota craft brewing scene. Whether it is a vocal and passionate presence at the Minnesota State Capitol, highlighting the unique events happening in their members' breweries and brew pubs, or putting on a fantastic Minnesota Brewers Conference and awards ceremony. They are a force for good. Please mark your calendars for Saturday, November 1st to celebrate Minnesota Beer Day. Minnesota Beer Day celebrates the history, tradition, culture, and community of beer in Minnesota on November 1st each year. On Minnesota Beer Day, craft breweries and brew pubs offer up special events, deals, and commemorative pints, brews, and more around the entire state of Minnesota on November 1st. This is not to be missed. And if you're like me, you want to get that coveted Minnesota Beer Day pint glass because it's different every year and it always celebrates an element and combination of things unique to Minnesota and its incredible craft beer scene. You can go to mncraftbrew.org for more details.
How about a beer?
Other than beer, what types of beverages will be available at the Autumn Brew Review.
So we were just speaking about NA products. We have an entire tent dedicated just to NA. So okay. That's where you're going to find all of the breweries that bring NA, they bring it, some of it to this one booth. So you have a nice, like you have your own booth to go to that's all you want. But in addition to that, we have THC. And, you know, what percent of our members produce THC now?
God only knows. Statistics on THC are a little wonky, but I will say, last I checked, there were about 130 brewing businesses that had registered with the Office of Cannabis Management. So you're looking at over half of the breweries in the state and probably over just about three-fourths of our members, if not a
there
little
you
more.
Go. So in a lot of them, they'll bring their products because that's the whole point of this festival in addition to all the other things is that, you know, breweries want to showcase what they're offering. So if you don't get a chance to go up to Duluth all the time, but you want to see and check in to see what these different breweries are offering, they're going to have the best of the best at this festival. We have cider as well. So cider will, be there if that's kind of what you want. And that's really what I love about this festival is that you have a beer and then you have a THC or you have NA. I mean, you can just pick and choose your poison as you walk through the day.
Well, I think it's also a great opportunity for somebody who's just getting into craft beverages in a very low stakes situation to get out and try a bunch of different stuff. Oftentimes, if I'm out and about in an evening, I'm limited to kind of two or three beers, but it's nice to just like have a
two ounce pour
of something. And a little pro tip for those of you listening, you don't have to finish every sample.
Yes.
It's okay. It's okay. If something's not your jam, you can like discreetly pour it out.
Pour it in the grass.
Mm-hmm. I like to pretend I'm doing a yoga stretch and just, there we go. Mm-hmm. But I think the variety of different things is great.
And I think it's nice, with On Brew Review too, with all the specialty beers that people come out, the beer nerds will like stand in line, they'll want to try it and, for very particular reasons. But even folks who have never been to a beer festival, like, what is this line for? And like, then they'll stand in and then like, and they may not even like the style of beer, but it welcomes them into the community. It's that camaraderie. It's that kind of like, you're part of this group of people. And I think the kind of singularness of that, is kind of a draw, whether you are a 20 year craft beer drinker, or if this is your first craft beer and you're 22 years old. Like, I mean, welcome to the fray, friend.
I don't know what year it was, but there was some year that Surly brought like darkness from like 5 years, like five different years. And they were tapping them like every hour.
That's always fun.
And that line was, it was going crazy. So that was cool. That was cool to see.
Do you keep statistics on the age demographic of who's attending your festivals?
I'm so glad that you said that because I just started.
Hey, all right.
I mean, we have like the nuts and bolts that we get from, the Googleverse and all that kind of stuff. But I included that on our survey last for all Pints North.
Okay.
Because if you go to our festivals, a lot of people, it's so funny because you walk around and people are like, hey, Fred. Okay, I haven't seen you since, and it's like they all know each other. And one of the statistics I got back from All Pints North was that I want to say over 50% of the attendees had been to 4, 5, or more festivals.
Okay.
Which was wild.
Wow. Interesting.
So I met an awesome couple at Hoops the day before All Pints North, and they were like, Lindsay, we don't plan any vacations really anymore, but this is our one vacation that we and my wife and I plan every year. We come just for All Pints North. And I thought that was like, I was so honored and I thought that was so cool. And I feel like our festivals, they tend to be a little older in demographics.
Sure.
Men and women equal. But we have a lot of repeat attendees. So people like yourself that have been coming for 15 years, which is such an honor. And that's why it's our goal as the Guild to make sure every festival levels up from the one before.
You know, the government is tracking all of us. And of course, you look back at my patterns, there's like two places I show up every year. It's the Minnesota Brewers Guild Craft Beer Festivals and Kramarczyk's. So those are the two places where I'm out.
Not
about.
Bad, actually.
Yes, those are solid choices.
There's two places right. You want to show up.
Your
and
FBI
show up.
Agent is like, this guy is awesome.
Yeah, well, I could go for some pierogies.
Yeah, let's get a sausage and a beer.
I might swing by there on the way home. I don't know.
Hey, nope.
There's worse things that could happen on a drive home. Kramarczyk's, especially this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting into Oktoberfest season.
Yes, we are.
That's one of the things I really like. A perfect segue into the next question. The venue, okay,
yes.
Boom Island Park. If we're lucky enough to get a nice fall Christmas.
The roll of the dice.
I really hope so. But, you know, don't get me wrong. All Pints North is fabulous. Yep. Lots of summer beers on display, and it's a whole vibe,
yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. But when we get into the, you know, September.
Yes.
Once football season starts, there's a switch that comes on in my brain that I just want, you know, malty beers.
Yes.
I want a reason to put on a hoodie, and I'm hoping that we get that. But what is it about the Boom Island Park that works so well for this Autumn Brew Review Festival?
I mean, the view is outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
If there's one thing I will always say about our festivals, All Pints North and Autumn Brew Review, we have stellar locations, some of the best. So the view of the city, you know, of Minneapolis, right along the Mississippi River, it's so great. It also has a great layout. It's relatively flat. I now know where the water spots are.
Because 2 years ago, it was like Woodstock.
Mm-hmm. You have no idea. I will always give a plug for our volunteers because they are the best volunteers in the business. They showed up, they showed out in crazy rain, downpouring, setting up that festival for 2 days. And I'm always grateful for all the work mm-hmm. they do. But when that weather is perfect as it was in 17, 18, it's like a whole new level.
Mm-hmm.
The trees are just, I mean, we're at kind of peak foliage season. We have the fire pits. So you got fires, you got s'mores going. Jess and I especially have worked really hard on the layout so that it has a nice flow to it. And that's what we want. Like, we never want people to wait in long lines. Unless, of course, there's some special release or something, there's a line's inevitable. But I don't ever want like two lines backing into each other or for people to feel crowded. So, you know, we take great pains in kind of that layout to make sure that we're placing booths everywhere that works.
Set up with Lindsay and great pains. Like I will measure something like once and then Lindsay will like do it three more times. What if we do 2 inches this way? Like, can we just put a stake down?
Come on. It has to be perfect. Perfect.
And
Mom.
It is. I appreciate that about you.
Well, so after our All Pints podcast, I was paying much more attention to the spray paint.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I even saw you early on. She's like, "Hey, do you see that?" I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I see you." And like, whoa.
Yeah. That's, she's intense.
Next level intensity. But, you know, and I should compliment both of you that this year's All Pints was so great.
Yay.
And so wonderful. Yeah, I know the countless hours that the whole team and Jess isn't here. But like
it's
everybody
Jess
involved,
and Lindsay, but I show up and do what they tell me.
Hey, somebody has to put on that sport coat and lederhosen.
Yeah.
Don't sell yourself short. But I think it's just so fun that the guild continues to put on such quality events that people look forward to.
And can I say something about Boom Island too? You know, part of it is now I'm a history geek on Minnesota beer, just with Minnesota Beer Day research and all that, which don't forget Minnesota Beer Day, November 1st. But like Boom Island, too, you are like in the epicenter of like one of the birthplaces of the state of Minnesota. Like you are right at St. Anthony Falls, like the birthplace of Minneapolis, the second city in the state. You are right next to Grain Belt Brewing. You're on damn near the territory that John Orth, the second brewery in the territory, ever started brewing at. So like I look at Autumn Brew Review as kind of like a reconnecting with your roots kind of festival of just let's remember who we are. Let's remember where we come from. And I think from a brewing standpoint and a beer culture, I think it's like the perfect spot. Like we outgrew the Grain Belt Brewery, but to be able to look at it, right. And to know the history of just, that is the one of the, heart of brewing in America, right? I mean, I think a lot of people forget that, like, Minnesota is just as historic as Wisconsin in a lot of ways of brewing culture. So, like, to actually have the festival there, to have it be the oldest beer festival that we still continue this through line on, I think is something that's really, really beautiful. So beyond the scenery, to me, just, like, returning to kind of what we come from, I think is important to me, and hopefully it's important to other people.
Yeah.
So you said 84 mm-hmm. brewer members, mm-hmm. Guild members, and you're going to have one...
Toppling Goliath.
Toppling Goliath. Yes. Non-guild. What's the connection with Toppling Goliath?
They're connected with one of our members.
Okay.
So they'll be brewing with them. That specific brewery to be announced.
Okay.
It's in the works, but they haven't kind of solidified... Again, emails. They haven't solidified. They're like, Lindsay, we're in. We're locked and loaded, but they just are sending over the details soon.
Okay. That's exciting.
Yeah.
For people who maybe haven't been to an Autumn Brew Review, what's the elevator pitch to get them to leave the friendly confines of their homes that day and come? And first of all, what are the times?
Oh, it's 1 to 5.
One
being if you have VIP, 1:30 if you have general admission.
Okay, that's
but right. We open our marketplace with our food trucks and other things at 12:30.
Okay.
So it's good to get there a little early so that you're not in lines and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Although our entry, Jess, is really nailed.
I will say, like, getting in over the years has become way smoother.
That's all Jess Talley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is Jess Talley. She is the queen when it comes to entry. So what I love, too, about Autumn Brew Review is it is October 11th. And we were just joking about the weather, but I always feel like ours is one of the last festivals of the season before we kind of head into those colder months and everybody kind of goes into hibernation for a little bit. So you're coming off all of these Oktoberfests, you're coming off all these fall festivals, art festivals. I mean, if there's one thing we do well, it's festivals out here. Mm. So, you know, you are right in that sometimes you have a little fatigue, but this is the last time to really get out, enjoy the weather, enjoy great beer, great drinks, great beverages, and entertainment, and just be together with your friends in a no kind of pressure situation to try new things that you've never tried with the people that make the products.
Yeah. So one thing I also appreciate, and I can't believe I didn't mention this earlier, but for people who like to kind of set up a plan, I think it's ambitious to walk into a beer festival like ABR with just like, hey, I'm just gonna see what happens. There's a lot of good stuff that brewers are putting out. In the past, there's been a way to kind of like feel like about a week before the festival, give or take a day or two, there's the list of not only what breweries are going to be there, mm-hmm. but what they're going to have.
Yes.
Where can people find that information?
That'll be on our website.
Okay.
And you're right. We'll have that about a week and a half. I asked for the deadline to be September 26th, knowing that it's going to get extended a little bit, mm-hmm. and that's okay. But then I send it off to our contractor. They put together the mobile website, and you can, on the phone, with that mobile website that they created, you can sort it by what types of beer, the ABV level that you're looking
really
for.
It's really user-friendly.
Mm. That's really kind.
It's nice because
I
like to do a preview article and, like, I mean, not all festival apps are the same.
That was so created especially for us.
It's just easy. You can organize it and just really is fun.
I love that.
And user friendly.
I will relay that message.
Yeah.
That's really kind. So we want it. So we're going to have that out there. So you'll know what people are bringing, where to find them on the map.
Yep.
And you can make your own list on that mobile site. So that's what's really cool about that too, is you can say like, all right, I got to hit these. It's like the state fair. It's always better when you come in with a plan.
Oh, you need it. You need it. Well, especially for the state fair.
I mean, it's a lot, you know.
Although there's some people that just can like, and this like, I don't know, there's not many types of people in the world that piss me off, but the ones who could just show up and just like, oh, just do it.
No.
And they wind up having a fantastic time after I spent hours and hours of trying to like curate a great. Ah, Bob.
No.
What's
this guy in the lederhosen and sport coat? Yeah. He's not.
No, I need a plan. Okay.
And so that can be found on mncraftbrew.org.
Correct.
Okay. Yep.
And that'll be, and we'll include that. We'll post that link when on social media. So definitely if you're not already following us on Instagram. Yeah,
that's a great question. How can people kind of keep tabs, not only for Autumn Brew Review, but the rest of the year? There's a lot of, like you said, Beer Day, November 1st.
Yep. Minnesota Beer Day, that's a whole thing too. Like that's such an amazing, like we're coming off the high of Autumn Brew Review and then we head right in. There's no sleep. We don't sleep.
No,
we
no.
do not sleep.
There's no hibernation season, for you all.
Every season's beer season.
Yeah.
And also, and you know this, but we set up our festivals by region. So a lot of times people will come into the fest and they'll hit up the furthest regions from where they are. So if they're in the metro, they might go, you know, southeast, southwest first. So they try to kind of tackle the festival by going to places that they can't get to every day to try those special brews.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense, too. Mm-hmm. The nice thing, what I like, a lot of things I like about ABR, but Boom Island Park, very centrally located. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you're thinking about, you know, 5 p.m. rolls around, don't loiter. Mm-mm. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay there.
I only have that park to a certain time.
That's right. Yeah.
Another thing I want to give a quick shout out to is that we work with Metro Transit to offer free passes.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Okay.
Because there's not a lot of parking around there, and we don't want people to drive anyways if you don't have to. So there, we have a special section where if you're taking a rideshare, you can get dropped off. And again, this is all on the website. But you know, Metro Transit, you can get free passes. So take Metro Transit. Why not?
Yeah.
Then you don't have to worry about these things.
Okay. So before we close out, again, we're talking about the Autumn Brew Review, which is happening Saturday, October 11th at Boom Island Park from 1 to 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. A great festival, a great location. I want to hear from each of you. What's your favorite thing? What are you looking forward to the most about this year's Autumn Brew Review?
So much. Just seeing everybody, I just love, I always come off like you would think like working, you know, 3 days in a row. Actually, it goes the whole week, right? With pack and prep and everything, you know, coming off this like long week, I feel like it's always like a wedding and then it's over. I go through this kind of depression of, it's over now. But just the day of seeing everybody's excitement, being excited with them, seeing what they bring and just kind of having that joyful get together before we head into those colder months it's always so much fun. It makes me love what I do so much. I love seeing other people have fun. I feed off that energy and it's just great to be there with everybody. And it makes me really appreciative of, you know, what I do and the people I work with and the community that we've fostered.
Yeah, I would, similar but different. I mean, beyond curling and llamas, for me, it's just face-to-face, because like even with our members, but also, you know, members of the public that I know, you know, there's a lot of texting, a lot of emails. This is one of the few opportunities where like I get to see so many people face-to-face and actually check in myself, you know. So more than anything, actually getting to interact in person is always my favorite part about any beer festival. But Autumn Brew Review, again, just with the history behind it, is probably one of my favorite festivals and that I've ever attended. And I want to give great credit to Jess and especially Lindsay. I mean, the state of Minnesota is super lucky to have Lindsay here because the festivals that she puts on are really, really seamless. And I don't think a lot of people, I mean, you did a whole episode on what goes on behind.
Floored by the level of like minutia that you get into. It's just crazy.
It's nuts. And I mean it when I say I show up and I do what Lindsay and Jess tell me. And I'm very, very lucky to do it. And you know, I think that's why these festivals are so good. There's a lot that goes behind it.
Well, I think I speak for all the fans of the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild and the festivals that you put on, that we are all very lucky that you have such a great team of people who not only have the intellect and the understanding of logistics and things like that, but also like a true passion for it. And that's always evident when we're talking about it. So I want to thank you both for taking time out of your day to come on and talk about Autumn Brew Review. Again, it's happening Saturday, October 11th. Boom Island Park from 1 to 5 p.m. If you're looking to get tickets, you can go to mncraftbrew.org. And if you want to keep your eyes on announcements and different things, follow Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild on social media, and you'll have all the information you need. So,
right on.
I want to thank you both. This is really fun. Yeah.
And we'll see you all out there.
I'll see you next month.
Yep. Cheers.
I hope you enjoyed the fun conversation about the Autumn Brew Review that will be happening on Saturday, October 11th at Boom Island Park in Minneapolis. Now, I recommend going to mncraftbrew.org to get your VIP tickets so we can all hang out in a few weeks while we drink some great craft beer and fall in love with some llamas. I cannot express how much I value Bob and Lindsay taking time out of their busy schedules to sit down and talk beer with me. It speaks to the type of giving and passionate people that they are, that they were so willing to come and spend some time promoting the Autumn Brew Review with me. Now, I want to give a special thank you to Brad Ashton, Marcus Dodson, Chuck Dorsey, Vicky Epper, Daniel Fisher, Todd Fitzloff, Laura Fleischfresser, Matt Holton, Cable Lefto, Dave Long, Ben Michaels, Brent Newman, Bree Smith, Jesse Storms, Sarah Cry Valento, Cal Vandyhoof, and Brian Wu for being keg stander level supporters of the A One Pint Stand Patreon. You've all shown incredible generosity, and I'm grateful for it. Cheers to you all. Now, before we go, I want to give a shout out to our sponsor for this episode, the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild. They do so many things for our Minnesota craft beer scene and its guild members. Bob, Jess, and Lindsay, their entire board, and the army of volunteers and supporters invest their energy and passion for craft beer in Minnesota all across the land of the sky blue waters. So check out their website, mncraftbrew.org, and follow them on social media to make sure you know when all the great craft beer events are happening and how you can get involved. With that, this has been another episode of A One Pint Stand, a Minnesota craft beer podcast where the pants stay on and the caps come off.
I'm a little tinny. Do I sound tinny to you?
No, you sound like a
Tin Man over here.
You could do a commercial for English lather.
Well,
a man's scent for a man's age. I don't know.
For a man's age. I don't know.